It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC, airing throughout the New York, New Jersey metro area and coming to you worldwide at mybradio.com, mybradio.com. And a special hello to all those tuning in on the 77 WABC app. Yes, thank you, New York. Thank you, New Jersey. Thank you, listeners. And the Nielsen ratings has us again in the top 10 in New York AM radio. That's a testament, of course, to the great guest that we have. Tonight's guest is will certainly help me get up there. You know, if I'm number 5, I have to check what we were. We'll get up to, I don't want to say number 4. With him, we'll get to 1, right? He won't let me off the hook if I say it. But as far as letting you know who it is, we'll share it. But I still got to do my whole intro here. Menachem Lubinsky. I mean, hey, Kosher Fest is a week and a half away. Less. Yeah, it's going to start in Monday, right, 10 days after the show, Tuesday and Wednesday, November 12th and 13th. Did I get that right? 13th and 14th?
12th and 13th.
November 12th and 13th. It's right around the block. We're going to be talking all about that and the status of the kosher food industry as it exists today. But back to the opener for a couple of minutes. Every single week we come at you with great business content. We cover such a wide range of industries and professions, subjects, retail, communications, entrepreneurship, financial planning, time management, emerging technologies, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition where you'll gain solid advice to get you ahead in today's business world. Well, some thank yous as we open up the show. Special shout out to the whole team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group, who plays such an important support role for the show. In particular, Srili, Michal, Miriam, Dina, Tova, thank you. And to the great folks at 77 WABC. James, Matt, Leslie, Chris, and Tim, thank you. Also, special shout out to the various channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on. We have a robust YouTube channel, a virtual video university. Just go to YouTube, type in Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, and you'll see over 100 videos with fantastic business content. It's all available for free. We also have iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcast, the OG Podcast Network, Player.fm, C-Suite Radio, C-Suite TV. The list goes on and on. And you can access every single show by going to mybradio.com. MYBRadio.com. I'm just going to tease with a couple of the amazing guests that we've had here on Mind Your Business. Joseph Aboud, the noted fashion design icon. Beth Comstock, former vice chair and CMO at General Electric. John Scully, former CEO of Apple and Pepsi. I think those are quite impressive names. We have many more. Shep Hyken, the world-renowned customer service expert. Paul Massey. Chris McCann, CEO of 1-800-Flowers. The list goes on and on. They're all available for free by going to mybradio.com, mybradio.com. Well, without further ado, going to tonight's guest, Menachem Lubinsky. Menachem is the president and CEO of Lubicom Marketing Consulting. Lubicom, founded back in 1984, is a full-service public relations, advertising, and marketing firm. And, of course, Menachem is well-known, very well-known, for founding Kosher Fest back in 1989. And he is the Tati of the kosher food industry as we know it today. I think that's a fair way of putting it. I don't want to say the Zaidi of it because, you know, Kanai Nahara, he looks like he's in his 30s, but Baruch Hashem, he has a life of experience. Menachem, thank you so much for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Thank you for having me on the show. I'm looking forward to our discussion.
Well, Kosher Fest. Kosher Fest is around the block. It's Tuesday and Wednesday, November 12th and 13th. First of all, could people still get in? Are tickets available? Where do they go to find out more information and to register?
Well, first, the show is a trade show. It's for members of the trade, for people who are involved in the trade of the kosher food. And they can go to kosherfest.com. There is a registration page there. And they can still register. Or they can register on site with proof of their employment or involvement in the kosher food industry, plus an identification.
So it's the place to be for the kosher food, anyone in the kosher food industry.
Yeah, well, it's now in its 31st year. It started back in, as you pointed out, in 89 with 69 exhibitors and less than 600 visitors. And this year there'll be close to 400 booths at the show with over 6,000 visitors. But the impressive thing is that it's become a worldwide show. There are exhibitors there from over 21 countries, and not to speak of the fact that almost 30 states in the United States are represented. So kosher, which years ago was thought of as more of a Lower East Side phenomenon and as a New York phenomenon, today is far beyond that. It's really a worldwide phenomenon. In fact, I'm going to start out by telling you that you practically cannot produce an ingredient to sell to the United States today, and if it's not kosher. Because who are you going to sell to? You can't sell to Coca-Cola. You can't sell to Pepsi Cola. You can't sell to Dan and Yogurt. You can't sell to Kellogg's. They're all kosher and all require kosher ingredients.
Fascinating points. You're saying if a company goes ahead and manufactures a product that's not kosher, or an ingredient, then by default, they're going to be locking themselves out of tremendous opportunity.
Right, because if they're getting kosher certification, the kosher certification agency, the rabbi, or whoever certifies the product as kosher is going to require that every one of the ingredients is kosher. And so that's why you have 3,000 companies in China that are kosher certified. You have offices of the major kosher certification agencies in China, in the hamlets of Thailand, and even in Dubai and in other areas today, kosher food is produced.
Now, I've heard you talk about this, and I just want to get this in because it's a fascinating topic in and of itself. The kosher food industry naturally was created for the Jewish demographic. Yet at the same time, I've heard you talk about how the power of the kosher food certification on any particular type of product has to be viewed far and beyond the Jewish demographic itself, because there are many others that will simply either prefer kosher or insist on kosher. Why is that? What's the background behind that?
Well, the background behind it is that kosher over the years has developed an incredible array of products which average mainstream consumers enjoy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go to a ballpark and get a kosher hot dog. Right. And in fact, I've been to ballparks where there were kosher stands next to non-kosher stands, and the kosher stands had lines almost, a couple of hundred feet, while the non-kosher one didn't. I mean, you talk about kosher salt, you talk about kosher pickles, you talk about, the range goes on. But more than that, there are some religious groups, such as Muslims, if they're not near a halal store, the most convenient way for them to shop is to look for a kosher certification. You have people who are allergic to various things. There is no clearer message on a package than to say parv, which means there's no dairy content in it, right, for somebody who is lactose intolerant.
Right.
And it goes on and on and on. So kosher has benefited from the fact that not only did it have a core market, as you and I know from the world of marketing, which is important to have a base market, mm-hmm, but they were able to pick up peripheral groups, which added to the strength and the power of kosher.
Perhaps you could share a story or two of a company that was not kosher, whether this goes back a few years or a few decades, and then said, you know what, Menachem, you've convinced me, we're going to take the plunge. But we're so curious, and the result was the proof in the pudding.
Well, in 2019, that conversation is almost obsolete. Because you talk about Kosher Fest, which is an exclusive kosher show. Right. You go to a show like the Fancy Food Show in, mm-hmm, New York, which has over 2,000 booths, and you find there are 60% of the booths, exhibits, are kosher certified. And if they're not, they come out into the aisle and they defend themselves that they're in the process of becoming kosher. The point of the matter is that the supermarket industry, the discount stores like Target, like Costco, there's no reason for them to take in a product that's not kosher when they can also benefit from people who are looking for kosher. So there were studies done, for example, pasta. which is something that people, almost everyone eats, that had certification and non-certification. The certified product did 20% better than the non-certified product. So it's almost a no-brainer. There's no deep research anymore done by companies on why they should go kosher. It's really become a why not instead of why.
Wow. So at this point, there really isn't any companies that would be putting you on the spot and saying, Menachem, I need the proof. Is it really worth the return on the expense of having kosher certification and packaging and all that?
No question. But if you take a look at this Kosher Fest, I think the breaking news of this Kosher Fest is the fact that there are close to 95 new exhibitors. These are startups and middle-sized companies coming from all over the world that want to be part of this kosher food industry. So those that the big kosher companies that we all know about, they're kind of like the fixtures. They're in. But the news is that now smaller companies are coming in and creating the next generation of kosher foods, next generation of kosher wines. And it's sort of every time I think that the industry has plateaued, it shows me that it is very much on the ground floor. It continues to grow and grow and grow. So looking at kosher, it's also become sort of a laboratory and a resource for the non-kosher food business, because every supermarket in America is looking for new products. There is no better place to find quality new products packaged beautifully with extensive benefits, for health benefits, than to find them at Kosher Fest. So even if you're not interested in the kosher food market, it just happens to have a kosher certification, so you benefit from that as well. But that's what the kosher food industry has become. I mean, here in Brooklyn, for example, one of the major chains in the United States, which is known for being high-quality, super gourmet, Wegmans chains, has opened this a week ago in the Brooklyn Navy Yard. And it's 75,000 square feet of grocery. And you know what? It has maybe 60,000 products on the shelves. And I guarantee you that more than 50% will have some sort of kosher certification. And, you know, I always use this, it's kind of like a euphemism. The word they used to say in Poland and in the shtetl, it's hard to be a Jew. Why was it hard to be a Jew? Because you had to go pluck the chicken from the market and prepare it yourself and take care of it and make your own sauces and your own. It's very easy to be a Jew today. All you need to do is have a shopping cart and walk into a supermarket.
My guest this evening is none other than Menachem Lubinsky, the founder of Kosher Fest, of course, the CEO of Lubicom. By the way, how could people find out more information and to get in touch with you?
It's very easy. My website is very simply lubicom.com. And my phone number is 718-854-4450. And you know what? I kind of challenge people who have good ideas, particularly when it comes to food. You know, it's interesting. We think that any kind of idea in food that anyone ever thought of is already out there. And then I find out, no, it's not true. People in their own kitchens sometimes develop food products that nobody thought about. And there's a potential for it to go beyond just for commercial. It has a potential for it to go nationwide or worldwide. So I encourage the sort of the chefs at home to think broader than their own kitchens in terms of the products. But, you know, what's happening in the kosher food industry today is interesting, because it's really a tale of two cities. We have the Orthodox Jews that live 365-day kosher consumers. The newspapers, the Hamodias, the Amis, the Mishpachas have all gotten into this food thing big time. Now, you walk into a supermarket, as I did recently, and you find women on their shopping carts reading the magazines to find out what ingredients they will need for the presentation that they will be making to their families. Now, back in the 50s and 60s, they used to say, does she know how to cook? She's 19 years old. What did she know? So sometimes you are lucky. You married someone who learned from their mother, and their mother was a good cook. But today, just to point out another fact, when I first started Kosher Fest, there were approximately 12 kosher cookbooks on the market.
Wow.
Today in Eichler's, you can get over 150 different cookbooks, and it continues to grow. So, and people ask me, how's the restaurant business, kosher restaurant business growing, and at the same time, the home cooking is going? Mm-hmm. That is kind of like the phenomenon that the kosher food industry has created. People are eating out, but they're also creating their home things. If you looked around this past holiday, what people prepared, the amount of food they bought, the presentation, the way they decorated their sukkahs, is nowhere near what their parents or grandparents used to do.
So fascinating. Before we go to a break, I want to let the listeners know our giveaway this week is the book by Brad Stolberg. He was a guest here on Mind Your Business. The book is called Peak Performance, Elevate Your Game, Avoid Burnout, and Thrive with the New Science of Success. This can be yours. It's going a hardcover copy. It's going to one lucky listener. All you have to do is text over MYB to 64600. Again, text over MYB to 64600. One lucky listener is going to win the book, Peak Performance by Brad Stolberg. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
If you're installing hardwood or SPC or WPC vinyl flooring, do it with the highest quality products. PC Hardwood Floors, the hardwood flooring leader, has been supplying flooring professionals with the highest quality flooring materials for over 40 years. The knowledgeable team at PC Hardwood Floors will ensure that your materials will arrive at your job site by our own fleet trucks, hassle-free. With 7 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and next-day delivery, PC Hardwood Floors is the tri-state area's preferred full-service hardwood flooring distributor. Call 866-369-3232 to find out how PC Hardwood Floors can help you find the right hardwood products and finishing supplies for all your flooring projects. For a free consultation, call 866-369-3232. That's 866-369-3232. Or visit us at pchardwoodfloors.com. That's pchardwoodfloors.com.
Came across a great commercial real estate opportunity and need money fast? At TBG Funding, we understand the challenge. Waiting months for a bank-issued loan can cost you your project. That's where we come in. Call TBG Funding today at 718-705-9300 to get the funding you need to get your project off the ground. That's 718-705-9300. With loans closed in 23 states and over $800 million in closed loans, TBG Funding can help you close any commercial real estate deal in as little as 3 days so that you can close deals quickly and efficiently. Visit tbgfunding.com to find out how we can help you capitalize on your next opportunity. That's tbgfunding.com.
Ever wished as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com. where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. DaleCarnegie.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftless right here on 77 WABC. My guest this evening is none other than Menachem Lubinsky, the founder of Kosher Fest. Of course, he is the CEO of Lubicon Marketing Consulting. Menachem, thank you so much for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Oh, my pleasure.
Well, Kosher Fest is around the corner, as we've discussed already in the initial opening segment of the show. And you talked about how you're anticipating, and roughly it's a week away, 6,000 visitors, 400 booths. Perhaps talk about the opportunities that exists for a company within the Jewish demographic, nationwide. Let's frame this now in the United States.
Well, the change that has happened in the kosher food industry is that the industry went from being a kind of New York-based industry, mostly in New York, to being nationwide. What happened is that the Jewish demographic changed. I mean, you have Jewish communities today in cities like Houston, Atlanta, places that never were heavily populated by Jews, and certainly not populated heavily by people who are kosher adherents.
Right.
So what happens is that the supermarkets in those areas, the HEB in Texas, I was in Austin, Texas, and San Antonio, has a full kosher section for people. See, what the supermarkets realized in a very interesting fashion is that they don't need a lot of kosher consumers to make money. If they have 50 families in a certain geographic areas, which is a story in a lot of right. little communities, mm-hmm. those 50 families provide them with what they need. It maybe it'll be $40 worth of their basket, but they're going to spend $300 in the store. And they're going to become loyal customers. And remember one thing. The kosher market has 52 holidays before it has its first holiday.
Right.
So every Wednesday, they're shopping like they are for a holiday. And for non-Jewish listeners, think of it as 52 Easters and Christmas and Thanksgiving. Every week, we buy the flowers, we buy the pans, we buy the paper goods, we buy the meats, the fish, all the different products. So it's a very dynamic market. And that's why the discrepancy between how much a family of four who is Orthodox spends on food as opposed to a non-Jewish family is tremendous. You're talking about $7,000 for a non-Jewish family to $17,000. This is for a family of four. And here we have a demographic where the families are well beyond four.
Right.
You take a community like Lakewood, New Jersey, which today has seven or eight major supermarkets in that community and growing. And you know that families there are 10 and 12 and 14.
Right.
And so the expenditure is much larger. So the supermarkets and everyone else have learned that this is a very healthy and profitable market that they need to attend to. In addition to which, we had in the last 10 years, we had the independent kosher supermarkets open up. So we now have supermarkets, kosher supermarkets, that every product in the store is kosher, of 30, 40, and 50,000 square feet of just kosher products. What that means is that you will have a choice. Instead of one brand of mayonnaise, you will have to choose from seven brands of mayonnaise. A tremendous change in the overall economics of the kosher food market.
Now, you've spoken about this in the past, where the numbers, you know, let's first go to the numbers in general. 900,000 to 1 million Orthodox Jews coast to coast?
Approximately. Maybe turning the corner. Beyond a million.
Beyond a million in the U.S.?
In the United States, yeah.
Okay. Which the Northeast region is roughly, let's say, 600,000 to 650,000?
Yeah, I think you're close.
Give or take. Okay. The independent kosher supermarkets. Okay. Now, of course, in the Northeast area, there are many of them. Is there any possibility that they would actually make sense to start opening some independent kosher supermarkets in areas? And of course, I've seen them in Florida as well, and in Chicago.
Florida, Chicago, Miami. Certainly right. Los Angeles, Montreal just opened a huge kosher supermarket, which they never even dreamed that they would be even a candidate for that, called the Foodery, just celebrating its first year. There's a possibility. Obviously, it's a question of economics and numbers. Right. I mean, you need to have the numbers. But what I noticed in many of these stores mm-hmm. is that they're attracting well beyond the traditional kosher consumer in those supermarkets because they just have very good products. They just have very beautiful products. I mean, you can't compare, let's say, to some of the products that come from Israel today that are gluten-free, sugar-free, low-calorie, the fish products that are now being produced. The frozen, you look at a section, a frozen section today, mm-hmm. it's almost mind-boggling. You could be talking about 15 or 16 doors just of frozen food products in an average store. I'm not talking about those that are 40 freezer doors. So, yeah, we're witnessing a revolution that is kind of unprecedented and growing.
How many kosher certified products are there on the market in the whether it's the U.S. or the whole world?
Well, it's becoming harder and harder to quantify them, but we estimate that it's approaching 400,000 items that are kosher certified, but probably the same amount in ingredient products, because there's two parts to the industry. There's the finished products, the packaged mm-hmm. goods, and then there's the ingredients. The ingredients are becoming even more important in the fact that you can't produce the products unless you have the kosher ingredients, right. As I pointed out before. But the numbers are, I mean, the Orthodox Union, the OU, which is the largest of, there are probably today about 2,000 kosher certifications. Rabbis, regional agencies, national agencies. We mostly the supermarkets talk about the five largest agencies because they have the common denominator of most people that will accept those certifications. They alone certify 300,000 or more products.
Wow. Let's still hold on to the numbers in the kosher food market. Perhaps you could share some other stats that are related to the kosher food industry.
Well, you know, on a personal level, one of the hardest things to have come by is to get numbers on the kosher food market. Okay. And the manufacturers keep their numbers very much close to the vest. Right. So it's kind of like I had to be a bit of sneaky, that every time I saw an opening that there was kind of a number, I kind of like hijacked it and used it. But there have been some professional marketing research beyond the kosher market, such as the Mintel Consumer Group, which is a major international consumer group. Mm-hmm. And they came up with the number that there's more than $12.5 billion of kosher food produced in the United States. Not produced, that is sold in the United States.
Annually.
Right. Produced. There's more product produced kosher in the United States than Boeing manufactures airplanes. You know, I kind of like tell the OU all the time that their symbol is on more product than Boeing, Apple combined, just because of the size of the way it is. So to appreciate the dynamics and the growth of this market, and the most important thing is whether you're kosher or you're not kosher, is when it comes to food, we're all very particular. It has to have good taste. It has to look good. And that's what the kosher food market is producing today. When you walk into one of these independent kosher food stores, you'll notice a beautiful produce section. You'll notice a beautiful frozen food. And, you know, we have the prepared foods today, which drives a lot of the market. And, yes, begins on Wednesday night with the traditional cholent. You know, that used to be something that I ate only on Shabbos, but now I can eat it almost any time. So it's really taken off. I mean, who would have believed that sushi would become a mainstay of the kosher food market? That you practically can't go to a wedding without being served sushi. I mean, you know.
My guest is Menachem Lubinsky. We're going to take a short commercial break, but before we do, I want to let the listeners know our giveaway this week is the book Peak Performance. A hardcover edition can be yours. All you have to do is text over MYB to 64600. Text over MYB to 64600. One lucky listener is going to win the book Peak Performance. Elevate your game, avoid burnout, and thrive with the new science of success. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Every accounting firm has a history. The history of Saul Friedman & Company spans 45 years of commitment, dependability, and reliability for our clients. A client of Saul Friedman & Company is never alone in making critical business decisions. Behind each business move stands the full resources of an accounting firm with the financial know-how to inspire confidence and ensure success. Call 718-232-1111 now to find out how Saul Friedman & Company can help you grow your business. There's a reason our tagline is accounting with accountability. That is what we believe in, and that is the ethic we follow. For a free consultation, call 718-232-1111. That's 718-232-1111. Or visit our website at snfco.com. That's snfco.com.
If you're installing hardwood or SPC or WPC vinyl flooring, do it with the highest quality products. PC Hardwood Floors, the hardwood flooring leader, has been supplying flooring professionals with the highest quality flooring materials for over 40 years. The knowledgeable team at PC Hardwood Floors will ensure that your materials will arrive at your job site by our own fleet trucks, hassle-free. With 7 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and next-day delivery, PC Hardwood Floors is the tri-state area's preferred full-service hardwood flooring distributor. Call 866-369-3232 to find out how PC Hardwood Floors can help you find the right hardwood products and finishing supplies for all your flooring projects. For a free consultation, call 866-369-3232. That's 866-369-3232. Or visit us at pchardwoodfloors.com. That's pchardwoodfloors.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Isaac Saftos right here on 77 WABC. Thank you for joining us. My guest this evening is none other than Menachem Lubinsky, founder of Kosher Fest, the CEO of Lubicom. Thank you so much for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
It's been a pleasure.
Well, let's go back. We're talking all about the kosher food industry. I mean, Kosher Fest is roughly a week away. It's coming up on Tuesday, Wednesday, November 12th and 13th. At the Meadowlands Convention Center. How can people still... now, of course, they have to be related... They have to work in a field related to the food industry, not necessarily kosher food, correct?
No. In fact, we encourage people from the other parts of the food industry to come check us out.
It's all about.
Just as they do to the organic or the natural or the gluten-free segment. We're a segment in the kosher food industry that happens to produce almost everything. If you want fish products, frozen products, meat products, and we've got some of the most interesting. I mean, I had a call the other day from somebody who said, how many different types of beef jerky are there that are kosher? And I said, to my knowledge, about 17.
No one's going hungry.
No, absolutely no one's going hungry. And look, you know, one of the main reasons that Kosher Fest takes place in November, and I'm asked this quite frequently, is because of its being the last time that stores can prepare for Passover. Now, Passover, Pesach, is the most lucrative time of the kosher food market. 40% of all kosher food sales is sold around Pesach. Close to $100 million of matzah is sold on Pesach. So, obviously, the focus, a great deal of the focus at the show is on that time of the year, even though we're just a couple of weeks at that point before Hanukkah, which is absolutely the next holiday coming up. So it's important, and then Passover is a time of the year when the majority of the Jewish market that has any interest in being ethnic or Jewish comes into the place. 18,000 supermarkets in the United States sell matzah before Passover. And so even if they have a very tiny kosher food section, 5-foot section of kosher food, they'll have the matzah before Passover, and they'll have the grape juice, which is almost a necessary staple. Because if the Federation studies are correct, and I believe that they are, still today, with all the intermarriage of being at 50% and all of that, there's still 65 to 70% of American Jews go to a Seder. And more importantly, it's become sort of an interesting social phenomenon in that it's cross-fertilization. There are churches throughout the United States that hold model seders. Mm. So when they go shopping, they buy the kosher stuff. They buy matzah. I mean, when Bill Clinton was president, his legal counsel was Jewish, and he invited 20 people to his Seder who were not Jewish. But what his wife bought for the Seder was totally kosher. So that's how the kosher market does much better than its numbers indicate. Because of the many people that come from outside and the many different observances. And look, you know, you can go into a kosher restaurant and you'll find a table, you'll find 10 people sitting around the table. There'll be two people with a yarmulke and the other eight aren't even Jewish. So economically, that all adds up to the strength of the kosher market, and that's what's really driven a lot of this phenomenal growth that we've seen. You know, another aspect that is important to understand, there are literally thousands of new products that come on the market every year. And the Mintel study shows that the one item on the label that is most dominant in those new products is the kosher. And Americans know what kosher means. They know it's proper or fit. Understandably, there are still some people in the United States that don't understand exactly what the process of kosher is. I am asked time and again, how do you bless kosher food? There's a story of one of the prominent rabbis of the Orthodox Union who came to check out a plant in the Midwest. And he walked into the plant, and there were hundreds of employees in very new, nice, white uniforms to greet him. And they all were up on a balcony overlooking where the rabbi was together with the CEO. And the CEO turned to him, and he said, "Rabbi, we are ready for you to bless our food here." And then the rabbi said, But this is not about blessing. I'm going to be checking the processes. I'm going to be checking all your tanks. I'm going to be checking your right. pipelines. Oh, Rabbi, please don't be modest. And please don't be modest. Could you please bless the plant?" He said that when he saw that he had no choice, he took his two hands, put it up on the walls of the plant, and he said, "May God bless this plant."
Beautiful.
And they all applauded and they were satisfied. So we still have some misnomers, people not understanding that kosher is a process, beginning with the biblical prohibition of mixing milk and meat, and that eventually carried on into the different types of products that are kosher, different types of animals that are kosher, different types of fish that are kosher, right. and different signs that they have to have in order to be kosher. But and you know what? If we're going to give a shout out, I think the biggest shout out should be given to the kosher certification agencies, and particularly the supervisors themselves, the mashgichim, who spend long hours in different plants, who travel around the world in order to make sure that something is kosher. I was just reading about this rabbi who spent almost a week in Alaska checking out the processing of fish products in Alaska. They go away from their families. It's there have been some casualties, as we know,
in Mumbai, there
have been plane crashes with rabbis. It is a dangerous job. I mean, remember, they're in places that knives are used. So they deserve the shout out. They are really the heroes of the kosher market, and the fact that they're able to keep up with so many hundreds of thousands of products. And at the same time, raise the standards, because the standards today are much higher than they were, the kosher standards, than they were years ago. There is unity amongst the kosher agencies. There's the Association of Kosher Organizations. They meet regularly to form common policy, because years ago, you used to have on a product a P. So did it stand for parv, meaning neutral, not dairy or meat, or did it stand for Passover? Okay, and that was changed. That today P stands for Passover. If it's parv, it needs to be spelled out. And that's just a small example of the kind of unity and the kind of systematic changes that have taken place in the kosher food industry.
Earlier in the show, you mentioned a fascinating stat: how for an average, you know, general family in the U.S., they're spending, let's say, $7,000 a year on that's on weekends. Versus 17,000 that the Orthodox Q again frame that.
No, the studies that were done are indicative of how much people spend on food
mm-hmm.
each week when they go to the supermarket.
That's for a week for a family.
Whether according
family.
To the studies, average visit is once or twice a week, or mm-hmm. it may be more for some Orthodox families. The difference for a family of only four, which is a small family mm-hmm. in the Orthodox Jewish community,
right.
is $10,000, and that's because they're buying meats and extra food for the Shabbat. And you know, let's not forget, that I call it, it's a user-friendly community, which means that you don't only have your family sitting around the table. You've got guests that come around the table. Right. I could go on and talk now for an hour about the kiddush industry, which is an industry unto itself. Has probably revived foods like herring and kugel and cholent, but nevertheless, it's an industry economically. It's a very potent economic industry.
What would be your stat on how much the average Jewish family spends during a Yom Tov season? We just came off of Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot.
Well, the question is, what's an average Jewish family? I mean, back in the 60s, the Federation study said that the average Jewish family was 2.1 kids. I mean, that's by far not the norm today in Orthodox Jewish communities. But I've heard numbers basically somewhere between $2,000 and $3,000 on food alone for a small family, five or six. But remember that these people are not only spending on food. They're buying new clothes. They're doing all kinds of other preparations for the holiday. So it's an enormous expense. And unfortunately, we still have, to a great degree, we have poverty in our community. We have people that can't afford it. But being a very benevolent community, almost every synagogue has some kind of fund to help these people out during the holidays. Mm-hmm. There are national organizations that provide food and other support, like the Met Councils, Tamche Shabbos, and others that provide the food. And that's a story unto itself. I mean, the fact that we are very much take care of the least fortunate in our community.
My guest this evening is none other than Menachem Lubinsky, and we're talking about the upcoming Kosher Fest show, which is roughly a week away, Tuesday and Wednesday, November 12th and 13th. You could still get tickets if you're in the food industry. Kosherfest.com.
Kosherfest.com.
We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Ever wished, as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events, that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is, you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com. where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. DaleCarnegie.com.
Came across a great commercial real estate opportunity and need money fast? At TBG Funding, we understand the challenge. Waiting months for a bank-issued loan can cost you your project. That's where we come in. Call TBG Funding today at 718-705-9300 to get the funding you need to get your project off the ground. That's 718-705-9300. With loans closed in 23 states and over $800 million in closed loans, TBG Funding can help you close any commercial real estate deal in as little as 3 days so that you can close deals quickly and efficiently. Visit tbgfunding.com to find out how we can help you capitalize on your next opportunity. That's tbgfunding.com.
Every accounting firm has a history. The history of Sol, Friedman & Company spans 45 years of commitment, dependability, and reliability for our clients. A client at Sol Friedman & Company is never alone in making critical business decisions. Behind each business move stands the full resources of an accounting firm with the financial know-how to inspire confidence and ensure success. Call 718-232-1111 now to find out how Sol Friedman & Company can help you grow your business. There's a reason our tagline is accounting with accountability. That is what we believe in, and that is the ethic we follow. For a free consultation, call 718-232-1111. That's 718-232-1111. Or visit our website at snfco.com. That's snfco.com.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. We're going to close out the show with this segment. I just want to remind the listeners one last time that our giveaway this evening is a hardcover copy of Peak Performance by Brad Stolberg and Steve Magnus. Elevate your game, avoid burnout, and thrive with the new science of success. It can be yours. It's going to go to one lucky listener. All you have to do is text over MYB to 64600. Again, text over MYB to 64600. One lucky listener is going to win a hardcover copy of Peak Performance, Elevate Your Game, Avoid Burnout, and Thrive with the New Science of Success. Good luck. Well, my guest this evening is none other than Menachem Lubinsky, who graciously gave his time out. He's pulled on all sides. He has his hand in many different projects, and certainly the kosher industry is the one that he is the tati of the industry. Is that fair to say? And with Kosher Fest around the block, we felt it was only appropriate that we should have a show all about the kosher food industry. Menachem, I'm going to open up. We still have a couple of pointed questions. I hope it's okay. Let's talk about the kosher travel industry, right? The Jewish community in general travels a lot. We travel not just to Israel, Florida, around the country. Business meetings take place all over. People need to eat kosher. Perhaps you can elaborate.
Yeah, I mean, the kosher travel industry has exploded as the travel industry has in general. I mean, air travel today is just a very common thing. It's no longer what it was, an elegant type of experience that the TWAs and the Pan Americans of the world used to promote. But from our information, there are about 16 million meals are served kosher on airlines around the world every year. Although it's a small percentage of the overall amount of meals that are served, but it gives you an idea of a new generation of younger travelers who are exploring the world, but they really want to have everything kosher delivered to them. I mean, there are kosher caterers that prepare. You can go through Europe and they'll prepare meals during those tours. There are a lot of kosher tours. You open up a newspaper today with something that is relatively new. But the kosher travel business, new hotels that have propped up in various cities all over the world. You can find kosher travelers in Southeast Asia. You can find kosher travelers in South America. I mean, by the way, I had my only Big Mac, Glatt Kosher Big Mac, in a mall in Buenos Aires, of all places. So, you know, kosher, as I said, it's kind of like a worldwide phenomenon. But the travel industry itself, the kosher travel industry, is literally exploding.
Hmm. How has kosher food, or has it been affected, or even has it benefited from technology in any way?
Yes, I think the buying online, I mean, Amazon today has 17,000 kosher products that they sell, approximately 17,000. Okay. And many people shop on Amazon. Mm-hmm. Sites like kosher.com, if you're short of a recipe and it's 3 hours before the Jewish Sabbath on the Shabbos, you could just click on tekosha.com and find the recipe that you can prepare within those 3 hours. There's a lot of foodies, the networks, bloggers, websites. So even if you weren't born in a household where cooking was something that was very dominant, you can learn it very quickly just by using your smartphone. So yeah, it has helped tremendously. I mean, most of the kosher restaurants that I know of are part of Uber Eats. So if you're sitting in your office and you decided that you want a certain restaurant, no problem. You just call up Uber Eats and you'll have it delivered. So technology really has played a major part. But if you talk about technology, technology has also helped the kosher food industry develop interesting products. They have broken up ingredients and made them, for example, gluten-free, and they've been able to make them sugar-free. So yeah, technology has been a blessing in disguise for the kosher food industry.
Let's go back to Amazon. You touched on it. 17,000 kosher food products. Any other stats or data on how the Amazon phenomenon has affected the kosher food consumer?
Well, the food category is one category that is probably going to be the slowest to go on with online shopping. I mean, housewives and people who shop food still want to see the product. It's a very sensitive thing. It's something that we consume. It revolves around our health and well-being. Mm-hmm. So it's unlikely that people will actually buy cantaloupes online if they can't squeeze the cantaloupe physically. So, you know, but it continues to, it's a multi-billion dollar industry. Almost every major supermarket chain today has a website and sells food online. But more importantly, it's become a convenience type of a thing. It's for, I know one woman, for example, that has three small children and she doesn't get out in the wintertime. She does all her ordering online. I know a single man who is actually an auditor. Works late hours. He lives on the west side. He has Fresh Direct deliver his meals, and his doorman puts it right into his refrigerator and freezer. Gets all this more delivered. And because of technology, I mean, you can just say on Thursday, you can say, repeat my order from last Thursday. Mm-hmm. So yeah, technology has done amazing things, and I think we're just at the cutting edge, and it'll be a lot more in the future. And I think the sites, like I mentioned, kosher.com, and the reason I give them a shout-out is because they're literally a magazine for kosher for any person that wants to know more about kosher.
The new American Dream Mall in Secaucus, right? It just opened a few days ago. My understanding is that they have a major food court, a kosher food court. Perhaps, am I catching you all off?
No. It's very much something that I've been following.
Okay.
My hats off to the Germazium family, immigrants from Iran, how they have really taken the American dream and really benefited from it. But everything that they do is with an eye towards the kosher religious consumer. And believe me that they thought about where they should have a minion in the American dream. Mm-hmm. But their food court is going to, as I know it right now, it's going to include, you'll be able to buy pizza there, you'll be able to buy fried chicken, you'll be able to sit down at a Mediterranean restaurant. It's going to be something that, it's a magnificent mall. I've seen it. You're going to do a lot of walking, and it is something that now is becoming very much topical. The question is the American mall history now? Is the fact that technology has taken over and most of the shopping is online, is that dooming the American mall? And what the Germazians are doing is they're not calling it mall anymore. They're creating a destination. They have a ski slope there, and they have a water park there, and they have a Nickelodeon park there for almost every member of the family. But the question is, how will the luxury stores that are there do while the family is being entertained? And they're talking about 40 million potential visitors a year coming into that area, so that's another concern. How's the Lincoln Tunnel going to manage with that kind of traffic? Yeah.
Well, a short distance away is where Kosher Fest is going to be taking place. Of
course,
the Secaucus at the Meadowlands Convention Center.
Correct.
It's coming up in a few days away, Tuesday and Wednesday, November 12th and November 13th. If you're in the food business, you can still get tickets by visiting kosherfest.com, kosherfest.com. Menachem, any final takeaways?
I thought I'd end with a cute story The Meadowlands is known as a swamp area.
Right.
And when the Meadowlands Convention Center was built, it was built by the Stern family, which is a very prominent real estate family. And they were told that they can't build their traditional houses there. The only thing they can build was a convention center. They knew very little about a convention center, but built it anyway, and it's been very, very successful. But the Germasians have taken that same swampland in the same area, and they built this mega attraction, which is destined to become one of their Mall of America in Minneapolis is the largest mall in America. And this is probably going to be something that will get worldwide recognition.
Really special. Menachem, thank you so much for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
You're very welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. And stay tuned for another great edition. Well, stay tuned for great programming here on 77 WABC on a regular basis. And tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Safliff. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Safliff has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Safliff, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Safliff.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.